Hello and welcome. I'm Dennis Prout, Certified Financial Planner.
And I'm Shea Pataja, the co-host of
New Retirement Radio,
the podcast.
This is New Retirement Radio with the team from Prout Financial Design.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC.
Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and opinions given are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their financial needs with a financial professional.
Hello and welcome. You are listening to New Retirement Radio, the live pre-record. So I'm Shea Pataja. Typically, Dennis Prout is in as the host, and Prout is out this week. And I have Heidi Thompson on the air with me today in the studio. And she is our managing director and the financial advisor at Prout Financial. Her and Dennis are both going to the TD Ameritrade conference. So as you're listening to this, they are in sessions learning and staying up to date on all the latest information. But we wanted to bring you a fresh show. So I said, Heidi, let's run down to the studio.
That's right. And we just ran down here. So let's see what we can come up with here.
You know, just to give the audience a little background. So I've been with Prout 13 years now, and you've been with Prout 11, right?
Well, 10.
10. 10.
10 plus, because I came in 2009. So in August this year, I'll have my 11th anniversary.
That is pretty awesome. So Heidi and I have been working together a long time with Dennis, and it's always fun to be in the studio and bring you the information that we think will help you. And I want to say today's show, it is focused on women in finance because we put on an event called Flourish, which is investment strategies for women by women. But please keep in mind, this applies to everyone. We just see that there's a need for women to learn. They tend to be the ones that are... Their spouses die first. Sorry, guys. We kind of know that that's a stat out there. And they tend to be double inheritors, so from their parents and their spouse. So there becomes a windfall of responsibility oftentimes. And when we have clients in our office, they say, you know, he always understood the terms. He always took care of the stuff. And that's pretty typical. It's rare, actually, for the women to say that they're the ones managing the finances solo.
Well, and Shay, I would say as well, more and more women entered the workforce since the 80s and 90s and beyond. And so we're starting to see people planning for retirement, women who have been working their entire careers. So they have more assets available to them, and they need to educate themselves on those tools and how they can best use these savings for their own retirement. So we're seeing women with more and more of a responsibility for the couple's retirement, and they're also contributing more to that, so they have more influence in that.
All right, well, I've got a Shea stat for that. For the first time since April 2010, women make up the majority of the U.S. workforce. The majority. In the last 12 months, 1.52 million working women have secured jobs, more than double the 586,000 men that have joined the workforce. And that's a stat from the Department of Labor. So, you know, thank you. That's what you're saying is true. And we're seeing that in the stats.
It's amazing that we've reached that point now. So
it's exciting. So anyways, today's show, we're going to go through some really great information on how to focus on your finances as a anyone, obviously, I want to say that again, this is for anyone, but we have found that women tend to be motivated, the studies show, by a dream. So women look at the dream. I want to be able to spend half the winter with my grandchildren down south. I want to be able to afford this vacation, this car, this condo. They look at the dream and then work towards that, and that's something right. that comes across pretty clear in all the studies.
As women, we like to have a plan.
Yes.
So we have our dreams, and we like to know, are we going to be able to do that, or do I need to change my dreams, or do I need to change something? Because we like to have something a little bit maybe more predictable or something we can rely on than just flying off the cuff all the time.
Flying off the cuff or, you know, finding a lot of security in numbers. There needs to be a meaning behind the numbers for a lot of people. So that's the thing we want to ask. What is your dream? What keeps you up at night? Where would you like to have more financial security? You know, those are the questions we ask. Do you ask any other questions when you're in a meeting, Heidi?
There's a lot of things that you ask when someone comes in, things that can have a big impact on where you are in your retirement planning is just basic questions like how old you are, where do you work, do you currently have a retirement plan, things like this. Also, then you want to get into the personal lives, family, are you married, are you single? That makes a big impact. You know, are you planning for one or two? Do you have someone else contributing to your plan? Inheritances is another thing we talk about quite frequently because people sometimes can use an inheritance to help fund their own retirement. Or maybe their goal is, I really want to be able to pass on what I've worked so hard for to my children or my grandchildren. So it's a mesh of facts and figures and information that way with, like you were talking about, the hopes and dreams and some of the fears as well, or apprehensions. And you have to combine that whole thing, and all of those pieces are important in that puzzle that you put together for your retirement.
I think the overwhelming sense of desiring independence is what rings through pretty loud. They want to stay independent and not be dependent on their children in their retirement. So moving on from that, so that's our question. What do you dream about and think about it? And if do you have time to even dream, right? So you're going to work during the day, you're running home, you're making dinner, you're taking care of the house. And a lot of parents that I know that are, you know, boomers, they are working really hard to take care of their adult children as well. So they're helping with the grandkids. My dad helps me with home projects. He's still working full time. So they're caught between taking care of their elderly parents, but also their adult children. And Heidi, you're in that situation. Can you speak to it a little bit?
Yeah, I believe we talked about this once before in the radio. It's sort of, I think they called that sandwich generation.
Yes.
Because you're at the age where you're still helping your kids, but then your parents are getting older and need help with maybe their bookkeeping or their upkeep or their health issues. So you have people pulling on you from both sides. But something not to lose sight of in all that chaos is to remember that you have to look to yourself, too, for your retirement. Because going back to what you were talking about a few minutes ago is no one wants to be dependent on others. Most of us like that independence, and we don't like to feel like we're a burden. And I think you had a quote somewhere in our class about nobody has ever said my goal in retirement is to be dependent on somebody else for my well-being.
Right, right. I'm going to offer up some Shea stats that I share in the class. So women earn typically 21% less than their male counterparts, equaling a lifetime loss of around $300,000. Oh, that's what I was going to say, is that typically when women, I just want to say boomers in general right now, they're at their highest earning point.
Potential.
And they're getting strained by their parents and or their adult children. So you need to keep that in mind, that these are some of the stats we're reading, but you need to apply them to your situation. So they're taking care of family. Also, us ladies, we tend to live longer. One in three women will reach 90, while only one in five men reach 90. And this is a pretty sad stat, but 64% of all Americans with Alzheimer's are women.
Mm.
All the more reason to start planning, and that you can do it today. There are three phases in a financial life, and this applies to everyone. There's the accumulation phase, the transition phase, and the preservation phase. Mm-hmm. Heidi, I want you to speak to each of those for our audience.
All right. Well, let's start with that accumulation phase. So the accumulation phase is the phase of life when you're just starting your work life to all the way to probably about 5 to 8, 9 years before retirement. This is when you're focused on your other life goals and things going on, raising a family, buying a house, all these other things you're doing in life. But during this accumulation phase, it is vital, or it is of great benefit to the individual not to lose sight of that future liability of retirement that they need to start contributing at this point. The money that you put in during this phase is going to be the most powerful because it has the longer term. That interest compounding that we always come back to is going to make more of an impact the younger you are when you start saving. So this accumulation phase is most of your adulthood. You are going – maybe you'll have opportunity to save in different ways, either through a retirement plan or through savings. But keep in mind that anyone who works, even if you don't have a plan through your employer or if you're self-employed, you can always have an IRA yourself. You can always do something to plan for your retirement, no matter if you're offered something through work. So you shouldn't feel like, oh, well, I don't get one at work, so I'm not going to save for that.
And an IRA is what?
Oh, sorry. An IRA is an individual retirement account. And how that kind of account, it works very similar to that taxation is similar to an employer plan where you put the money in, you can get a credit on your tax return for a traditional contribution to an IRA, and then that money grows tax deferred. That means you don't need to pay taxes on that money until you take it out. And you can't take it out of an IRA without a penalty until you're over 59 and a half. So it is definitely intended for retirement. This kind of account is not appropriate for your savings to buy a car or a house because of that 10% penalty can really cut into any gain you've made in the account. So an individual retirement account is available. And then there's a sort of a different kind of IRA. It's called the Roth IRA. And we've talked about this on the show quite a bit. But this one is you don't get that credit on your tax return for making a contribution, but you put your money in the account, and from the point that you put the money in account, it grows without taxes on the gains and dividends. So when you take the money out in retirement, you pay no tax at all on that money. So you can see how powerful this could be for a 20-something. They put money in when they're 20-something. They can leave it in there for 30 more years and take it out, and all that gain over all that time is never taxed. So the younger you are, the more seriously you should take a look at that Roth option.
Sure. So the accumulation phase, your greatest asset at this point is time.
That is right. Yes.
We were talking about that last week on the radio show about how people always say, oh, when I get that bigger job, when I make more money, then I'll sacrifice and put money into a retirement account. But that is, at that point, that is a dream.
Right.
It may or may not happen. You may or may not reach that goal for income. And by then, you're shorter on time. So the magic of compound interest depends on time.
I mean, don't wait till, you know, you think, oh, I can spare a big amount of money to put in there. Starting small is fine. You know, you start with $25 a month. And if you increase that by $25 every year, in 4 years, you'd be putting in $100 a month. And if you can build on this thing over time, you know, in 8 years, you've got $200 a month and then so on and so forth. So you can build up slowly if you don't feel you can jump in with a big amount right away. I'm for people who are in employee plans. I'm like, if you can only put in $25 a month, do it, because that money's going to be working for you during all those years. So,
Heidi, thank you. That is like the most clear explanation I think I've heard of retirement accounts so that people can get started. I hope that folks listening are subscribing to our podcast on iTunes, because if you have family members that you want to share this with, especially the young adults who are just getting started and you want to light a little fire, this might be how to do it. All right, Heidi, we talked about in retirement, you have the accumulation phase, the transition phase, and the preservation phase. Tell me about the transition phase.
Okay, well, before I say anything, let's remember that this can apply to everybody, not just women. So
yes,
just want to add that back in there. So transition phase, this is a phase from about maybe 5 to 8 years before you intend to retire. So you've been going along in your accumulation phase and you're accumulating all this these assets in your retirement accounts, and you get to the point where you're like, wow, I think I'm going to retire in 5 years and 10 years. And you start thinking about that goal. This is the time you're moving into a transition phase. So you want to start taking maybe a little bit more time and be more purposeful instead of just glancing at that statement and putting it in the file. You want to start looking, how much do I have? This is a lot of times where we see a lot of clients in this phase. This is maybe the first time they've come in to see a financial advisor because they don't know what to do now that they've accumulated all this stuff. Another descriptor we use for this phase is money in motion, because this is when you've been accumulating all this money and now you want to maybe change the way that that money is invested, because you don't want to put that money at risk. Because if you've been aggressive in your investing, you want to be able to count on that accumulated wealth that you've built up to help meet your expenses in retirement. And you're no longer willing to put all of that at risk of a recession or a downturn in the market that may put you back a couple years from being able to retire and putting those assets at risk. So this is when you start looking and you're changing your allocation. And what that means, an allocation just means, where do you have stuff invested? Do you have it invested in different mutual funds, different stocks? How much is in stocks? How much is in bonds? So this is when you're looking at that allocation. Another thing you want to look at is what other products maybe are now appropriate that may not have been appropriate maybe many years before. And in this case, I'm talking about something that maybe is not a market-based investment, maybe something that is protected from market risk, that you can make sure that part of that portfolio is protected no matter what happens. So it's not all about the money stuff, though. During this period, you want to start having conversations with your spouse, or you want to have a real sit down and think with yourself, if you're single, about what do you want to do in retirement. People have a better retirement and are more satisfied. A lot of surveys show this. If they have a plan, or if they've thought about some of those questions, like what do you want to do? And this goes back to what you were saying at the beginning of the show, the car you want, mm-hmm. Do you want the condo, do you want to spend the winters in Florida so you don't need to use a snowblower? Others,
Heidi, stop the dreams I have. How do you know?
It's funny how we think about snow so much at this time of year.
Yes.
But this is a great time to have a financial plan done. A financial plan is a plan that looks at all your assets. So not only your retirement assets, but maybe your home or land or all your different resources. And then it has you go through a discipline of sitting down and going, okay, what's your budget? What's your anticipated budget? So you think about that. But then you think, do I want to travel? Do I want to go on a big trip every year? Maybe not every year. Maybe every 3 years. I'm going to need a new car, you know, every 5 years. I want to have a screen porch put on my house so because I'm going to be home more and I want to be able to be outside. These sort of things you can think through. The more you think through this and put this in a plan, a financial plan will look at your assets and these aspirations and say, can I do this? What's the chance that I'll be able to do this? Out of 1,000 different scenarios, how many times will it come out that I'll be able to do this, and how many times do I fall short? So it gives you sort of an idea where I'm landing. 80% of the time, this will work out for me. I feel pretty good. I feel pretty good with my plans. Probably small changes here and there can help me get up even higher if I need that surety. So a financial plan is effective at this point in time. It really helps you zero in, because if you say you score like a 60 and you're like, ugh, you know, I'm not going to be able to do all those things I thought. You can do things like, what would happen if I worked one more year? What would happen if I put in $100 more a month in my retirement? And then you can have this financial plan run again, and you can see the impacts of these different little changes in behavior. Maybe I work part-time for the first 2 years.
Social Security,
yep,
those types of things. Now, what's the difference? I know listeners are thinking, but I'm paying you as the advisor, so why do I need a financial plan? I thought that's what you were doing. What's the difference?
Well, a difference between just planning and a financial plan is a financial plan is actually a software that we utilize that can run various scenarios. What we do for people is we're looking at what kind of assets people invest in. We also are educated on tax strategies. How's the best to pull the money out? If you need $3,000 a month, which account should you take it out of? And should you take it all out of an IRA or should you split it between a Roth and a traditional IRA? So we work more on the strategy. A financial plan runs these 1,000 different scenarios. It would take me a long time by hand to figure that out. So we're utilizing technology to be able to interpret the results for our clients. And I think that's where we can make a real difference.
It is really fun to see those results, too, because I think you guys print three of them for people to look at, and then so that they can look at where they can make adjustments or choose the plan that they think works best for them. So, yeah, the advisor is looking at the big picture. Big picture, and then drilling down to the individual accounts, where it sounds like the financial plan interprets all of the in-betweens and really makes you sit and think about, like when you brought up the screen on the porch, you don't even remember that that was a plan that you had in the back of your mind and that, oh yeah, that's going to cost money. And if I don't, if I'm not working and there's not a bonus coming in March like I'm used to, then I need to think about where that money's coming from.
Right. And so some other things to think about, you know, as you're going through this transition phase is also not only are you planning, you're also dealing with your assets currently. So you're moving those, like we talked about, those allocations around. So that's why we call this the money in motion, because you're making decisions, you're moving things around, and you're planning at the same time. So one thing people, when they're putting these budgets together, something to think about, and I'm taking a class right now, and one of the things they brought up that they pointed out was when you're retired, you're no longer saving for retirement. So that opens up your budget a little bit. So that's something to remember, because a lot of people are working, well, my take-home pay is this, and they work from that number. Yeah. But there's some expenses that you have as a working individual that you will not have in retirement.
That's fun to think about. The transition phase is actually the most exciting, I think. There's a lot going on, and it's fun to start planning. All right, and now you're looking at the preservation phase. So these are the retirement years. Talk to me about those.
That's right, the retirement years. So this is after you've gone through your transition phase, and now you are retired. So like we were talking about, you don't have that paycheck coming in anymore, and you're now relying on Social Security, pensions, other guaranteed money streams. You can buy different products that can provide you a guaranteed income. So you may have some of those. You put that together with your portfolio, how much you need to draw to meet your monthly expenses. And then you also want to keep in mind that you always want to have an emergency fund during every one of these phases. So you want to have some money in cash that you can get if you need all new tires on your car. So you're not going into credit. Credit is really expensive, and especially in the preservation phase, you're drawing money out of your portfolio to pay interest. That's something that you try to avoid. So by the time you get to the preservation phase, you want to try to have all that consumer debt out of the way.
You know, that's interesting, too, because the I cannot remember where I read it, but you know, you can't borrow for retirement. What you borrow for your house, what you borrow for the kids, what you borrow for your education will pale in comparison to what you need to save for retirement. And that's something you can never borrow for.
Right. So I was just thinking, you know, my grandfather, he passed away when he was 97. And so if I work until I'm 70, I still have 27 years to plan for. So it's quite a period of time that you're in this preservation phase. And so you want to, it's worth the time and effort that you put in to plan for it in that transition phase.
Especially in the preservation phase, too, when you're retired, we talk about the gaps, so the income gaps.
Right.
What does that mean?
The income gap, yeah, that's a phrase that we throw around a lot. So this is where we're looking at those guaranteed income streams, which would include Social Security, or if you have a pension or some kind of annuity that's paying off to you. Those are guaranteed income streams, which means you're going to get paid those every month, no matter what the stock market does. It's a reliable payment. And then you look at your expenses. that budget, what you need for your daily living, plus some of those goals that you wanted to do, maybe travel or outside activities, being outdoors, the expense of those kind of things. So you look at between what your expenses are and your guaranteed income, and if there is a gap, meaning you don't have enough income to cover those expenses, that's what you're going to use your 401k money for, your IRA money for, and some of your other kinds of savings to bridge the gap. So you have to come up with that amount from your portfolio so that your quality of life remains consistent or where you want it to be.
I like how Ron Jolly always says, you don't, when you retire, you don't just go out to the mailbox and there's a check. Today we're going over kind of the big picture thinking of what is retirement planning and why do you guys talk about this all the time? And I don't understand. I'm only 28. Why does it matter if I start investing? Or I'm only 47. Should I even be looking at this right now? Or a lot of you are like, I'm 59 and I'm panicking. So we want to be able to help everyone in every phase of their retirement planning and thinking about saving. And as Dennis always says, it's not easy anymore. It used to be your savings account, Social Security, and the pension you had at work. Mm-hmm. Okay? That's no longer the case.
Pensions aren't as out there like they used to be, and most companies no longer offer pensions. So it's becoming more of the responsibility of the individual. Instead of relying on that company, you just working there and they're putting money in and figuring that out. Now that responsibility has changed over the last couple of decades to where now it's really the individual's responsibility to save and direct those investments.
Well, and I have friends getting jobs where they do offer a really small pension, and they are not counting on that just because they've seen what has happened with states not being able to follow through on their pensions, companies offering pension buyouts. We've done seminars on that. So even if it's there, I think people are trying to think beyond that and plan beyond that for the future.
And I would encourage people to do so, because if you're fortunate and you do have a pension through your employer, I would encourage you to go ahead and save on your own and open those IRAs that we talked about, that individual retirement account, or some other kind of savings program where you're saving money up on your own, because that pension, along with Social Security, may not be enough. I mean, Social Security was designed to be a safety net. It was not designed to allow you to live in the same lifestyle that you had when you were working.
Which is crazy to think about, right? Because right. Also when they designed Social Security, people weren't living as long.
That is so true.
We are living a lot longer. We're mm-hmm. seeing more people go through a gray divorce, which means that they're divorcing in their 60s. And having to figure out how to plan on their own. And we're seeing a lot more blended families. So stepkids, mm-hmm. step-grandchildren, how do you divide the family cottage if it was owned by her first?
Lots of complications.
We have a lot of complications, but today we're trying to keep it simple. So there's three ways that Heidi and I have figured out how to describe money. There's today money, tomorrow money, and beyond money. And today money is the money that you need right now. So this is what we would call liquid cash, or the daily expenses, the things you're going to need money for in the next 12 months. What do you have to say about that, Heidi?
Right. So today money. Now, remember, going back, we had our phases, and that's the phases of your life based on like where you are in life, how old you are, where you are in your career. This is types of money. So this is how the use of money, when you're going to need to use the money, you should invest differently for these types of money. So as you said, today money, that's anything that you're going to need to live on in the next 12 months. So this sort of money that you're going to need in the next year or 18 months, you want to invest in something conservative or low risk. Things like CDs, money markets, savings bonds funds, mutual funds that are very low risk. This is also where you would have an emergency fund. I mentioned this a little earlier. An emergency fund, you should have an emergency fund your whole life. It's just good practice to have a savings account that you can fall back on for those unanticipated expenses so that you do not have to get yourself in a financial bind like running up those credit cards to something that you can't pay off in the next couple of months. Something, you know, goes wrong with the car, you need a new roof. Having and building over time an emergency fund that you can fall back on will give you more options and will keep you from having maybe there's a downturn in the stock market. And if you liquidate your mutual funds, you could take a loss. So if you have an emergency fund that's in something low risk that has not lost value, you can go there first to meet those expenses. So at any time, it's good to have an emergency fund, but that's what we call today money. It's, like you said, it's liquid, it's easy to access, and is very conservatively invested, so it does not follow that market up and down, that volatility.
And there's a lot of little savings hacks out there. There's apps out now that allow you to round up and save the difference on purchases so that you don't even miss it. The little hack that I have is that I have a bank account that I can't get into really unless I go to the bank, and I have a tiny part of my check goes to that bank account. But that's great because over the years I've been able to save something there as an emergency fund. But it is so terrifying to think about, like, how are you going to save that much money when they say you should have 6 months of income or more? I've had a CPA tell me it'd be great if you had a year. Mm-hmm. And for a lot of people, that's just not doable. But like Heidi always says, make it small, make it doable, but just do it.
Right. And I had a client that had a terrible time trying to save. Just, you know, we tried all the, you know, withdrawing it from the checking account, from the paycheck and all this stuff, and just couldn't do it, felt too restricted, would just stop it and then not save anything. So we came up with this new system of every Saturday he would come home, anything he had in his pockets went in a jar. And so, and every time he got to $50 in the jar, he would take that and put it in his savings account, or in this case, he put it in his IRA. But that way it didn't hurt. He didn't have to restrict what he was doing anyway, but it was a method that worked for him. So what works for me may not work for Shay and vice versa. So
you can find something.
Yeah, you can find your own trick for yourself based on your personality. What's going to help you save a little bit more?
All right, next is tomorrow money, money you intend to use for the next 10 years. So this could include money to cover the income gap we talk about. Other expenses would be education, children, weddings, so something you're planning out the next 10 years. Can you say a little bit more about that?
So when you're investing this type of money, you know you're going to need it in the next 10 years, but you're not going to need it in the next 12 or 18 months. So you can put it in maybe something with a little bit more market exposure, mutual funds. You could use stocks or bonds. You could have a mixture of conservative to moderate level risk in these sorts of investments. You might look at an annuity if you're retired, something that's going to pay you a monthly income from an annuity that does not fluctuate with the market. So the other part that you talked about, the weddings and the education, you're going to be saving in these sort of investments for those kinds of expenses. So it'll allow it to grow a little bit and you benefit from maybe a gain or a return from the market, but it's not so risky that you'll lose it all if something adverse happens. So it's sort of like in the middle there. It's what you're going to need in the next 10 years. So you want, like, you wouldn't want to go out and buy a 30-year bond with this money, okay?
Got it. Because that would be 20 years beyond the 10-year goal.
Exactly. Okay. And you'd get a penalty, or you wouldn't be able to get your money back when you needed it. So,
I mean, that's math I can understand.
Okay.
All right, talk to me about the beyond money. It says money not needed for 10 plus years out. So the money is working to keep replacing your today and tomorrow money as it's used.
Right. So especially if you're in that preservation phase and you're not bringing in a paycheck, it's not, you're not filling up those buckets. When you're in your accumulation phase, your today money is constantly being filled up by your working and that paycheck is coming in. So beyond money, this is stuff that you can take a little bit more risk. You can look maybe at a more aggressive type of mutual funds. You could look at some international or growth funds that could maybe give you a little more return. But if there is a downturn, your timeline is so long that you maybe you could ride that out so that you're not forced to liquidate when the market is down. So you have a farther timeline so you can take more risk so you can ride out those downturns. So the volatility is not going to have as much impact because you don't need that money immediately. This is something that can be real fire out, like if you're in your 20s and 30s, this would be your IRA or your employer plan money can be invested a little more aggressively because of that timeline that you have in front of you. So it has to work in contingent with these other types of money, but this is the money that you want to build wealth in. And then if you are retired, like we talked about before, you can pull from this money that's making more and fill up those other types of money as you need it. So keeping part of your portfolio invested in something that can grow can help replace the money that you're spending in today and tomorrow, if that makes sense.
It makes sense to me, and it helped when we give the presentation, we have a visual example of what it looks like to move this money around and be thinking and planning this way. But I really do love the idea of today, tomorrow, and beyond money, and then you have to think about each of those things differently when you're in the accumulation, transition, or preservation phase.
Exactly.
So the one thing I want to, because of time, I do want to talk about, what about beyond the money talk? Women typically are known for being great networkers. We build huge networks with our friends and family. We're kind of the connectors. So how do you build a network to support yourself beyond having a financial advisor and looking at just the numbers?
Well, we've talked about this a little bit on this show before, but it's something that I think is so important, and I've seen it make such a difference in people's lives, is building up your professional network or the relationships like you were talking about. When you are younger and or you're in the transition phase, even if you feel like you're not ready maybe for somebody to help you with your taxes, like you can do them fine, or you don't need help investing because you sort of understand it, you may want to start exploring those relationships before you get to the part where you need it. You want to build up a relationship with professionals that can help you make decisions in the future. You want to build up that trust. You sort of want to vet them out. And I like to think of it as your professional team. You have your tax preparer. You have your financial advisor for your investments. You have a health insurance consultant for Medicare or Medicaid or just your regular health insurance, because that is getting so complicated. Mm-hmm. And then maybe you have someone on the legal side as well who can help you with estate planning or some of the other legal issues like wills and trusts and other type of instruments like that. If you get to know these people over time and build up a relationship, then when you get to the point where you need to pull back or you want to pull back, you can have the confidence that these people, you know how they work, that you know they know you, and you've built this relationship. And I feel that people who do this are much more successful or have much more peace of mind, mm-hmm. That they know that this person is looking out for them or knows what their goals are and that they work together towards the same thing instead of waiting till it's critical and you don't know if your decision making is good or maybe you're in a health crisis and you wait to that point. You don't know if you're thinking right. You know, I have to trust this person because I have to, not because I know them and mm-hmm. I've built that relationship. Mm-hmm. So I feel sort of passionate about that because I've just seen such success when people do take the time to do that.
Okay, so I want to end with some tips to people on how to open up these discussions with their family and to make communication work harder for you by doing very simple things. For example, number one, decide on your beneficiaries and discuss it with them. So beneficiary forms always trump the will.
That's right. So especially like with your 401k plans, your IRAs, your Roth IRAs, these are all going to have a beneficiary form. When you sign up. But anytime you have a life event, a new birth, an adoption, a death, a divorce, a marriage, you want to check that beneficiary form so the money is going to whom you intend. It's too late once you've passed away. As we see in our office, unfortunately, we'll see, oh, I didn't realize it was going there, or, oh, that's, I still have my mom on there, you know, stuff like that. So,
number two, create a will or trust. And we've gone into extensive detail about this. I've had multiple attorneys on the air, and those are also all in iTunes. So I'm not going to take time here to discuss that. Number three, select your power of attorney and your medical directive.
Yep, that's really important. We've seen a lot of times if someone's in an accident or some health issue comes up, if there is somebody that has a power of attorney to be able to make decisions on your account that have to be made, it is really helpful. It's also helpful for that spouse if they're taking care of you, if they can take care of some of the business themselves while you are dealing with your health crisis. Also, medical directives, you know, people want to do what you want, and they're not going to know unless you tell them what you want. So they'll have to guess or do what they would do. But it's best to let people know.
Also, let them know who your financial advisor is, your CPA, your attorney, your bank. Let your family know. They don't have to know the details of your accounts or any detailed information you don't want to share, but at least let them know who they would contact in case of an emergency. And number five is openly share your needs and wants. Like Heidi said, in general, your family, the people who love you, want to make sure that your needs, wants, wishes are all met. So communicate those with your family. Thanks so much for listening. You can find us online at proutfinancialdesign.com. That's P-R-O-U-T, financialdesign.com. Also, you'll be able to find us on iTunes and SoundCloud.